This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Canada, US, UK, any part of Nigeria or Surulere Lekki campuses, or you're here at the good land, I just wanted to listen. Incline thine ears. Don't be distracted by your phone. If you're on your phone, let it be that you are putting down notes. Show some responsibility with destiny. Glory to God. I want to believe we have the introduction or introductory video. If that is ready, let's have that. And then the next voice we hear is that of Dr. Boju.
Highly regarded as a teacher of the word of faith, Pastor Boju Oyemade is graced with divine wisdom to draw out insightful lessons from God's word and make it applicable to our daily lives. His messages are known to be both transformational and transgenerational, finding relevance across all walks of life. He is the convener of mega annual events like the World Faith Believers Convention, WOFBEC, formerly known as WAFBEC, the Platform Nigeria, and the International Conference for Pastors, Ministers, Leadership, and Workers. Pastor Boju has consistently been described as a bridge in the Christian community as he serves as a link between the older generation of Christian trailblazers and the younger generation. This phenomenal minister is the host of the regular TV programs Insights of Living and The Quantum Leap on various TV stations across the nation and in the UK. Pastor Boju, who was ordained into ministry by Bishop David Oyedepo, is the senior pastor and founder of the Covenant Nation with headquarters in Lagos, Nigeria. He is happily married to the delectable Pastor Tony, who is also a dynamic teacher of the word, filmmaker, and content creator. Together, this anointed duo lives out their divine ministerial assignment as pastors of the Covenant Nation Global Impact Church. With great joy and jubilation, let's make welcome the senior pastor of Covenant Nation, Pastor Boju Oyemade, to Recharge Conference 2023.
Amen. Let's just say a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the mighty presence of your spirit in this place. Thank you for all you have been doing in this conference. Thank you for the vision you placed in the heart of your servant. I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you grant unto me utterance by your spirit, that your words will go forth unhindered by any demonic force, in simplicity and accuracy and with power, interpreting the vision the settlement of this house has for this conference, and ministering grace unto all the hearers. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, let's put our hands together for Bishop. since I'm doctor, he's Bishop Yemi Davis. All right, maybe seated. Amen. All right, let me not call strong for him. Pastor Yemi Davis is a minister I love so much in this country. I deeply appreciate his wisdom. I say it every time I'm here, that he's one of the wisest, young ministers in this country. A very stable person, very stable, very wise in his dealings. And I also thank Pastor Bimbo also. All right. See, she's wearing sneakers, you are wearing shoes. You should wear sneakers. All right then. Amen. All right. This evening, I want to do something. If we just read Acts chapter 14 and verse 7. Acts 14 and verse 7. It says, and they were preaching the gospel there. Verse 8. It says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength, in his feet he was sitting, crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The next verse says, this man heard Paul preach or speak. Paul observing him intently, all right, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, Paul said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And the Bible says the man leaped and then the man walked. The man didn't walk and leap. The man leaped first and walked. Now, and God has put this strong to my heart. I just want to share this before I get into the message. That what if Paul, after he finished preaching, just left? Because that man was born crippled from his mother's womb. And after he heard Paul preach, Paul looked at him and he perceived at that moment that man had faith to be made whole. If Paul didn't say anything and left and came back in 2 weeks, he would have lost that faith. So sometimes in meetings we get to a point that people have the faith for something and they must be called out to do something they have never done before. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay? So this evening I want to teach that I want to ask you to do something. That's why I shared that. All right? To step, all right, into something this evening. All right, let me start from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to verse 9. Paul here teaching, and I'm going to build this line upon line, all right, and it will be clear to everybody. Paul teaching in Philippians 4 and verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, in nothing be anxious or careful, but in everything, he said, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then it tells us the results of our request. He said, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall mount guard in your heart by Christ Jesus. So Paul tells us we should go up to God in prayer. And when we offer our prayers and bring our requests unto him with thanksgiving, God will answer. He says, but the answer he will give is a peace within that passes all understanding. Now, we shouldn't make this mistake when we pray. And many of us lose the results of our prayers because of wrong thinking. So we pray about something. Let's just take an example. Somebody needs a job and you pray about the job. Then you check on the outside to see whether there's any improvement, whether any emails are coming through, whether any doors are opening up. And if a door opens up seemingly and you are called for an interview or 3 interviews that day, then people say, well, our God is moving. And then, you know, you go for the interview. And when you get there, you see somebody you knew. Maybe it was the elder brother of somebody who used to live, all right, around the same area. And you say, God is moving. God is moving. I found favor in the eyes of the people. And they do the interview and all of that. And then the results come and they write to you and say, we are sorry. All right. And it's the very person you knew that you are saying, God has opened the door that writes to you. I'm sorry, all right, I'll have to ask you, tell you that your interview did not go through. And I just want to inform you that don't call us unless we call you and don't disturb us again. And then your heart sinks. And then you ask, where is God? And then you go again and pray about something. And then you feel a release on the inside. And then you check on the outside. And then it doesn't work the way you think it should work. And then your heart sinks again. And then you go again and pray. Now, what God is saying is this. When I answer your prayers, I don't answer on the outside, I answer inside. He said, I answer prayers with the peace of God that passes all understanding, that mounts guard upon your heart and upon your mind. Now, I want us to understand something. That if you ask God for a job, or if you ask God for money, or you ask God for people, or you ask God for a spouse, God doesn't have those things in heaven. God doesn't have naira in heaven he will send to you. God doesn't have jobs in companies in heaven that he will send. But there is something God has that he always gives freely. When they came to meet Peter and John and they asked for alms, they said, silver and gold have we not, but such as we have, give we unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And what they had solved the fundamental problem of that crippled man. So what God has in heaven, he releases. And when he releases what he has in heaven, you feel it on the inside of yourself as a peace that passes all understanding. What does God have that he gives? In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul said, I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus according to my own expectation and my hope. So when you go up to God in prayer, I want to establish this first. And you offer up prayers unto God about something. What God has to give you is he pours on the inside of you. And this is what constitutes that peace. A fresh infilling of the Spirit on the inside of yourself for the performance of that very thing that you need. So when he releases it, it comes on the inside of you as a peace that passes all understanding. He always answers the prayer, but he doesn't answer on the outside. If you check on the outside, you will not see any change on the outside, and you'll be wondering whether God heard my prayer. So someone is pastoring a church. I mean, it happens. You start pastoring a church. You pray, pray, pray. The number of the church goes to, let's say, 120 this Sunday. You're happy. I guarantee you the next Sunday to be 81. Then it goes again to 150. Then it comes to 47. Then it goes again to 200. And you'll be going on yo-yo until you understand this. That what he does, he pours it. Now, look at it. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to verse 31. Look at what it says here. Acts 4, 29 to 31. It tells us in Acts 4, sorry. It says, now the Lord look, all right, upon their threats and grants unto thy servant, this was their prayer, with all boldness we may speak your word, and by the stretching out of your hands to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy Son Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken together. And what did the Bible say? And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. God answered that prayer by pouring forth his Spirit on the inside, saying, the very person who is responsible for creating every single thing have poured him on the inside of you, within you, for the performance of that thing that you have there. And when he begins to walk, he will do exceedingly abundantly above what you have asked or imagined. But if you look on the outside, and you are checking on the outside to see whether there's any improvement in the condition, or you're checking to see whether there's any sign on the outside, you will miss the move of the Spirit. And It's the move of the Spirit on the inside of you that guarantees results. I want you to know that this prayer cannot be denied. This is how God answers prayers. If you go on the outside, Satan will play games with you. If you stay on the inside, that he's going to walk from within me. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit. Which means if you are thirsty, the answer is going to come out of your own belly. And when it comes, it is not just to quench your thirst, it's as rivers of living water. So it tells us in Luke chapter 11, verse 12 and verse 13. It says, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts. All right, I'm pulling it out here. Luke chapter 11, 12 here. So he says this. If a son from verse 11, Luke 11, 11. If a son shall ask for a bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him instead, all right, a serpent instead of a fish? He said, which father will do that? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more won't the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This prayer cannot be denied. I'm trying to show you how your prayers cannot be denied. If you pray for something, God says, this is what I have. The Father pours it out on the inside of yourself. Now, what happens many times to people is after that happens, they have a release on the inside. They know something has happened. But the mistake they make is they go and check on the outside to see whether there's any improvement on the outside. When there's any movement on the outside, Satan plays games with them. They follow that movement on the outside. They get disappointed and say, what happened here? Then they go back again. Maybe they come into a meeting like this. They encourage again to go back and pray. They go back into the posture of prayer. They get again another release of the Spirit there. They feel on the inside they've got something. They check on the outside. Nothing happens. They say, what's going on here? So what is this peace we are talking about? Hear what Jesus said concerning it. And you know he was talking about the Spirit. John chapter 14. You know, even if a man is not living right, the only way he can live right is by an outpouring of his Spirit. Because it's the Spirit that will convict you of sin. It's a prayer that cannot be denied. If a person needs healing, it is the Spirit that will quicken your mortal bodies. John chapter 14 14 verse 26. And 26 and 27. Now hear what Jesus said. But the Comforter, or the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father shall send in my name, he says, he will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. Then he said this, peace I leave with you. That's the Holy Spirit. He said, my peace I give unto you. He was talking about the Comforter. Not as the world give do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, he's saying the Spirit of God, the Comforter, when he's come, he will teach you and he will guide you. He will bring to your remembrance. In other words, once the Spirit comes in there, the Spirit says, now, I want to teach you how to get that thing. I will bring to your remembrance every single thing I have told you concerning that particular thing. So he will show you the ways of God. He starts teaching. So once he comes in, all right, he will teach you, all right, how to get a job. He will explain it. So it is not a question of luck. You understand the ways of God. And once you understand it, and you know how to do it, he will teach you. If someone says, well, I want to get married, he will teach you. He said he teaches your hand to war so that with your hand you break a bow of steel. In other words, you do impossible things with your hands. But you have to be taught by the Spirit there. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit begins to teach and he begins to lead that person and says, do this, do this. This impression here, that impression there. They obey those things. It leads to something. Then they understand how God works. Now, once I pray, all right, the Spirit is poured out. And if I listen to the Spirit on the inside, I'm going to enter into the manifestation of anything. Far beyond anything I've taught. Look at another scripture. John 16, verse 13. So it cannot be denied. Listen to what I'm saying here. You offer a prayer to the Father. The Father hears the prayer. And says, such as I have, give I unto thee. And releases his Spirit into your heart. And then if you allow the Spirit of God to do his work on the inside of you, then you are going to, it says, out of your belly, which is from within you will flow rivers of living water. Then you become, as it were, a master of your own destiny. You understand it. It says you have caught fish. It says from now on you shall catch men. You understand it. Most of the things you will get into in life. See, when the Holy Spirit comes into you, he does two things. He can either get the results through a manifestation of power or through a manifestation of wisdom. If you need healing in your body, he applies power. If you need to live in divine health to your 120, he applies wisdom. That the Holy Spirit will show you, listen to what I'm saying here, show you that stop eating these things. Exercise this way. Sleep for this amount of hours. What he's doing there, he's guiding you into a life of 120 years. You get healed with power. You get, all right, a long life there with wisdom. You can use power to call somebody into your life as a spouse, but you can't build a marriage with power. The Holy Spirit will teach you. So there are many problems in marriages that people are praying, God deliver. It is a wisdom problem, simple. So when you pray and the Holy Ghost comes in, he starts telling you, don't talk like that again. Change the way you do this. Change the way you do that. And once he brings you to the understanding of it, I'm telling you here. My hand, my landlord, when the first place where we stayed in Lagos, somebody came in, had a prayer meeting. One church member came in. She walked in, and her father was a big architect in Nigeria about that time. He looked, I said, this is so-and-so's daughter. I knew them because they're from the same area. He looked, he said, go and meet your father. He will tell you, I'm a good man, I'm a bad man, and I'm a wicked man. I told him, I said, what is that? What are you talking? He said, tell your father. I told my name. I said, but he down looked at me. He said, listen, my father came into this country, didn't get any job. He was an architect. Didn't get any job. He said, people don't know this secret. He said, he came to meet me. I said, you don't have any job. He said, no. He said, let me teach you how you have jobs for the rest of your life as an architect. And I won't say the principle because I don't want people to abuse it, right? And he explained the principle to the man. The man applied the principle there. Within 7 years, he designed 2/3 of University of Lagos. He said, this is the point of entry into success. But you see, we are praying, we exalt the manifestation over the process. And when you have manifestation and you don't understand the process, you are in bondage. Let me repeat, I have told you a prayer the Father doesn't deny. Even if a person has a bad character, the only way he can change it is through the Spirit. So he pours the Spirit in to change that character. You can get a contract with power, but you can only build a company that will last for 300 years with wisdom. You can use power and call forth a contract, but how you treat your workers will determine how long that company will be in existence. So John 16 and verse 13, we can't ignore the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was on this earth, if anybody will get anything from the Father, you had to go to Jesus. Anything. If you went to God and prayed, you went to Jesus. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, speak the word only, come and lay your hands. Jesus said, listen, I'm just one person here. It is more expedient for you that I go away. If I go, the Comforter will come. And when the Comforter comes, you will do greater works than I am doing. But you see, we have ignored the Holy Spirit. John 16 and verse 13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he hears, that will he say to you. And he will show you things to come. In other words, when the Spirit of God comes in answer to prayer, all right, I'll show how it happens. He starts showing you things that are to come. There are decisions you can make today that will be the fulfillment of the scripture. You can make decisions today with 1,000,000 naira in your hand that will be the fulfillment of the scripture that you left an inheritance for your children's children. 1,000,000. Because the Holy Spirit can show you property that you should buy today with 1,000,000 that in 20 years' time will be prime property. That everybody is calling bush today. He says, go there and buy it. He says, fence it. It's a story I always say of there was an elderly man and a young man. And what happened was that there was a small town where they were. And the young man, all right, they were in a small town. And they were going to another small town somewhere. And there was only one bus that came in every day. And that bus will take people there. And it will not come again until the next day. This elderly man and the bus will come to the bus stop, pick people and take people. This young boy went and stood far away from the bus stop. And the elderly man called him. He said, young man, come here. This is where the bus comes. The young boy said, no, this is where the bus comes. The elderly man said, look, I've been doing this thing before you were born. This is where the bus comes. If you miss this bus, you are going to spend the next 24 hours before you get there. He said, no, sir, this is where the bus is coming. He said, all right. As the bus was coming over the horizon, the elderly man looked at him and said, I said, come here. The young boy said, I'm saying, sir, come here. This is where the bus is coming. The bus came to the bus stop, passed the bus stop, went to where the young boy was and parked. The elderly man looked like this. The young boy came out, as I was about to enter, turned to the elderly man. Sir, I forgot to tell you something. The bus driver is my father and told me where to stand this morning. You see, when the Holy Spirit is with you, you will go and stand in places. Are you following what I'm saying here? That everybody will say you are stupid. You will say, I am what? Stupid. Are you following what I'm saying here? I know somebody, I know the person. God told the person, take all of your naira. Told the person 2 years ago, change everything to dollars. Change everything you have to dollars. Something is going to happen to the currency. When others are saying there's a casting down for that person, there's a what? Lifting up. It's not a confession just like that. Do you get what I'm saying? We can't live the Christian life without the Holy Ghost. So, So when he says he will speak peace, let me show you what happens to us. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11. This is what we do, and this is where we miss it. 1 Kings 19 and verse 11. It's a short message. I just want to show something. 1 Kings. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. Now, look from verse 10. It says this. Verse 10. And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel are forsaking the covenant. All right, there I'm throwing down the altars and slain the prophets with the sword. They seek my life. Verse 11. And then he says this. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind rent the mountains, broke the places. All right, the rocks before the Lord. Now, the Lord passed by. If the Lord is passing by a place and the rocks are breaking and the mountains are shattering, won't you say that's the Lord? Wait, won't you say that? If God says, I'm coming at 9 a.m. tomorrow, and at 9 a.m. you just see a wind blowing and rocks are shattering outside, you'll say, God! Look at what he says. But the Lord was not in the word wind. External. Then after that, an earthquake. Ah, you say, I missed it. It's the earthquake. Can you see the earthquake? That verse? All right. But the Lord, verse 11 is still there. But the Lord, verse 11, the latter part. But the Lord was not in the what? Earthquake. Then after that, there was great fire. All right. And fire began to go. And the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a small still voice. What I'm trying to say is, when God answers the prayer, it is not by fire, earthquake on the outside. It's a small still voice. This is the way to go, walking in it. Please think about this. Everything rested upon Jesus Christ. If Jesus was affected, the redemption plan of God was affected. Everything hinged on him. He brought him in his state there while he was still helpless as a baby. And Herod heard that they were going to kill Jesus. And Herod decided he was going to kill Jesus. Then Joseph heard. The angel came to Joseph to tell him that Herod had heard about Jesus and he was coming to kill all the children. If God was just a God of power, he would have put angels around where Jesus is and said, let me see who will come here. How did he protect his son? Guidance. He told Joseph, carry him and go to this other place here. In other words, if Joseph did not hear God, Herod may have had access to Jesus. He didn't use power, he used guidance. What we are looking at is just power, power. When God is saying the small, still voice is where it is. So what's this peace? Psalm 85 and verse 8. All right? He says, I will see, all right? I will hear what God, all right, will speak. All right, let's start from verse 7. It says that, show me thy mercy, O Lord, and grant unto us thy salvation. So that was his prayer. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. And to his saints, but they should not again turn to folly. In other words, that peace that passes all understanding that floods your heart. When the Holy Spirit comes in answer to prayer, he will not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he will do what? Speak and show you things to come. He starts talking to you about that thing. He starts talking to you about that thing. Somebody can get up and say that. Listen, I have no job. I have no job. Listen, he talks to you immediately. Listen, the minute you pray, and there's a release, God immediately starts talking to you. We are not saying you will get a manifestation immediately, but you will start hearing God. And what God can tell you is that you are passing that place. There's a school there that have put out a signboard. Say they need an English teacher. You can teach English. Go in there and go and teach English.
When he toiled all night and caught nothing, Jesus didn't show up and say to him, listen, oh yeah, go back in. You're going to catch fish. Throw your bed. What Jesus said was, give me your boat. The woman by the well, when she was there, Jesus didn't come and say, if you only knew I had, he says, give me water to drink. The Holy Spirit has shown you how the covenant works. So he whispers to you, go into that place and teach. You go in there and you are teaching. You say, what is this? And while you are teaching, right, you begin to experience joy, even though you are not even getting any money. You're experiencing joy and fulfillment teaching those people. You begin to realize that life is more than just money. And then while you are doing the teaching, one of the children now comes in. Maybe the uncle comes in there and looks and says, I came in. And says, what are you doing here? You speak very well. And from that conversation, they open up a door for you somewhere. Then you realize that when the Holy Spirit led you to go and teach there, it was for a connection. Listen to what I'm saying here. And then you will come to understand God. Now look, listen, the greatest investment, I'm telling you this about life, the greatest breakthrough you get in life will come through connections with people who are lower on the social ladder than higher, that you may know it is God. It is not the king, it is the driver that will make you get it. Then you will understand that many people are missing things in life because they treat people who are poorer than them wrong, and those people shut the doors. You begin to learn lessons about life. You start learning lessons. You will find out that every king in this life turns to somebody beside them and asks, what do you think we should do? And it can be anybody. You will find out that the biggest contracts that are being given, it is the suggestion of sometimes the smallest person in that organization that opened the door. And because that person didn't know the way of the Spirit, they came into that company and talked anyhow to roughly to the people. And when they got there, doors were closed. And they're wondering what's going on. What God? But I prayed. Well, you didn't listen. Somebody's file dropped. The Holy Spirit was trying to tell you, come pick that thing up. So it's a small, still voice. And I was saying, Pastor, I'll build on from where Pastor Olumide, Maya was talking about being led, because it's the most crucial thing. There's the power dimension, and there's the wisdom dimension. And it's as many as are led. I'm trying to give you, because it's a short video, but I'm trying to give you guarantees that look, if you keep looking on the outside, this thing will be swinging like this. Once you understand that I pray, the Holy Ghost comes in. Put up Isaiah 32 and verse 15. It says this, Isaiah 32 and verse 15. Look at what, Isaiah 35 and verse, all right, 32 and 15, I'm correct. It says, okay, from verse 14, look at what it says here. It says, because the palaces shall be forsaken, and the multitudes of the city shall be left, and turned, all right, and the forts and towers shall be for dens forever. Joy of wild asses and a pasture of flocks. It means everything was bad. Until, what changed it? Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. And once the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, the wilderness will become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field will be a forest. Once the Spirit is poured forth and you follow the Spirit, He will convert anything you have there into a fruitful field. You have to learn how to listen to Him. And the first way He does this, let me tell you, the first way you hear this small, still voice is this. And practice it. Once you go out there and pray in the Spirit and get a release, in other words, you know that something happened in prayer, that means the God has poured forth into your spirit, the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you that the process is more enjoyable than the manifestation. that the Holy Spirit is impressing upon your heart. All right, go this way. And it's impressing upon your heart, go that way. I'm telling you that, look, it's just that we can. Look, go and go accept somebody who's totally has hardened their heart. People that run into trouble, if they will be honest with themselves, the Holy Spirit impressed upon them. Don't do that thing. Maybe they were lured by the carrot that was dangling, but they did it. People that went into marriages that they almost lost their lives, the Holy Spirit warned them. They got uncomfortable with the thing. There was an impression. That is all God can do. He can't force you out. If you won't listen, there's nothing He can do. And let me tell you this, wisdom ranks higher than power. Here's the reason why. Pastor quoted this scripture this afternoon when I was preaching. When they went out on the cruise, on the ship, and wanted to go, and Paul said, I perceive. He said, I perceive. That's the way God helps you out of trouble. I perceive that this journey will be towards hurt and damage, not just of our lives, but also of the ship. The Bible says when they looked around, you look on the outside and make decisions on the outside, not based on the nudgings of the Spirit. The Bible says they set sail. When trouble came, you know, the Bible says after long abstinence, Paul came out. Paul said, you should have hearkened unto me. He said, but be of good cheer. The angel whom I serve appeared to me. But even with the appearance of an angel standing beside Paul, he said, listen, only our lives will be saved. The ship is gone. If you try to save the ship, all our property is gone, but our lives will be spared. Why didn't the angel say, don't worry, I will take control of the ship and your lives? Power comes after wisdom. Yeah. Are you following what I'm saying? So how do you do it in practice? And I'll show something that I want us to do this, and you'll see it in practice. Because Kenneth Hagin, before he died, said something. He said, and I believe it absolutely, he said, there are two things. They ask him, what is the Lord doing on the earth now? He said, this end times, he's building strong local churches, and he's teaching every believer how to flow in the Holy Ghost. Because our security there is flowing in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you this. One day I took off from London, landed in New York. I had a restraint in my heart to fly. Restraint to fly. I said, I'm going. I'm going to this New York. I'm going. I landed. When I landed, as I wanted to enter the taxi, I said, let me go and buy coffee. When I got there, I realized I forgot my wallet inside the plane. God told me, final warning. As I collected the wallet, I called my travel agent. When is the next flight back? Because I knew entering this city is the risk to my life. Before you know what's happening, you're walking and they came to carry people that were doing something and they just look at you and they carry, then they start splashing, Pastor Kojo, arrested. I was just seeing if I entered my hotel and locked the door and stayed there pending when the flight was ready to go back. Because nobody will know God warned you. Then they'll say, how can God doesn't take care of his own? He doesn't take care of his own. He doesn't take care of his own. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 42, even the farmer, the way he farms, he's instructed by the Spirit. How he should put the roads, where everything is instruction. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to instruct you on every detail of your business. Are you following what I'm saying? They will get to the point. There was a chap in church. He had a business and they were selling certain things. Somebody came to meet him. He said, this is not the color you paint a building when you are doing this kind of business. He changed the color. Clients began to come. Because colors mean things. The Holy Ghost will teach you. You think God just put red, blue, yellow, this. Am
Michael Jackson, when they arrested him and took him to court, his lawyer, the first day he went there was wearing jacket, shining something. His lawyer told him, he said, listen, next time you come here, you come in a dark suit, navy blue or dark gray, or else no matter what we say, you are going to jail. He said, the color you wear tells people whether you respect the establishment. He said, two colors communicate to establishment that I respect you. He said, navy blue and gray. After that, he changed. He said, no matter what we say, those colors are saying something that is. So God will teach you things. Please understand this. There is nowhere in scripture that God promoted, I'm sorry to use this word, a daft person. Nowhere. The reason, don't come and be saying, look, listen, it is not a testimony to say, I went there to give a presentation, I just talk nonsense, but they gave it to me. It's not a testimony. Do you understand? It's not. Where do you hear that Joseph got there, they said, let's interpret the dream, and I talk nonsense, but Pharaoh made me prime minister? Where do you see it? Or they asked Daniel a question, and Daniel said, I got there, and I just talk nonsense, but favor of God got me. Where did you see it in the Bible? Where? Or Jacob got to Laban's house, and I just talk nonsense. And then he said, I have observed since your coming. Joseph, he said, listen, a man gave him, said, when they heard their wisdom, they said, there is no other person in this kingdom. This is what God wants. And the place came from when we were in school. People would come and tell testimonies. Somebody came and tell, that's what caused the problem. And people said, in testimony, somebody said, listen to me. I just went to my paper. I wrote nonsense. And then I came back with an A. And people, listen to this. And people now, they now said, so what happened? He said, we went to check. And then the marker put two question marks. By the time the person was going to register, he thought it was 77. So he put 77 and put A. Everybody will say, praise the Lord now. But the person who comes and says, listen, I scored an A. How did you score an A? The Holy Spirit told me to wake up between 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. to read. That's when the brain absorbs the most. And then he told me, you won't hear that one. It is the one that said, question mark, question mark. So what you are trying to tell people from school is that you should go out there when the power of God is at work. You talk nonsense, but God, do you get what we're saying here? Do you understand what I say here? Listen to me. Sometimes when people say, by the grace of God, I will be somewhere at 4 o'clock, what they are trying to say is that, listen, if I'm not there at 4 o'clock, it's because God, do you get what I'm saying? I'll be there by the grace of God. Sometimes you want to tell people, don't say the grace of God. Don't say, I will be what? There. Because when they say, I'll be there by grace of God, when you tell people, I will be there by the grace of God, what you are saying is, there is nothing on this earth that will stop me from being there. At 4 o'clock, I'll be there. If you are in a hold up, and you have told them by the grace of God, I'll be there by 4 o'clock, and you are in a hold up, the grace of God will open your eyes to see a motorcycle going. Get on that motorcycle, because by the grace of God, you will be there at 4. Are you following what I'm saying? God wants to work in us. We should open ourselves to Him. So what does He want to do? Quickly. I'm almost done. All right? Isaiah 32 verse 15. It says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. It says, and then in the wilderness shall be turned to a what? Fruitful field, and the fruitful field be turned to a forest. So when you go to God in prayer, guaranteed the Holy Ghost comes. Once the Holy Ghost comes, all right, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you and start talking to you. Now, how does He talk to you? He says He will change the wilderness into a fruitful field. Quickly look at Isaiah 29 and verse 17, and then you will see what He will do. It says, Isaiah 29 and verse 17, it says, it's not a very little while, Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest.
the same thing. What is going to happen? And in that day, it says this, next verse, in that day, all right, shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. And what's the next thing? He says, then the meek shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor men shall, all right, rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. In other words, he says, in that day, the deaf shall hear the words of the book. So what happens is that once the Holy Spirit gets on the inside of you, he says, I'm going to change this wilderness into a fruitful field by using the book, the Bible. Now that I'm here, I will open up your ears. Like Jesus said, there are many things I wanted to say to you, but you cannot bear them. But when the Spirit of God is come, he will guide you into all truth. So he says, pick up the word of God. The answer to your prayer is in the Bible. The answer is not on the outside. The answer is in the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying here? The answer is not on the outside. The answer is in the Bible. Take the Bible. After you get that release, it means pick up the Bible, and I will show you the steps you ought to take. And then you will start seeing things in scripture. Now, what is going to happen is that it's the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. The eyes of your understanding will be opened up. And the first thing he's going to show you, which means he will show you things to come. He will show you the hope. He will show you what God wants to do in that situation. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, please follow me here. Because of time, I'll just go straight to this. So you have the hope. You have the expectation. Now, what does he want to do with that hope? Once he shows you, there's something he wants to do. And this is where we'll clinch it. If there's a woman who needs money, let's say she needs 500,000, and she's exhausted everywhere, maybe to pay the school fees of her children, she's a single mom, she's exhausted where she'll get the money, and she sits down and she's getting depressed. And she's getting depressed. And then somebody should go somewhere. And a woman there just says, a couple there just says, she overhears the conversation. You know, we needed 750,000 naira for something. Children, we needed, and you know, went to meet that rich couple. And they gave us 1 million. Suddenly, she looks up. Excuse me, yeah? What do you say about that couple? Are you related to them? Do you know them from anywhere? No. Why did they give you the money? They are kind and they have resources. Somebody else gets up. Same thing happened to me. I needed 1.5 million for this. They gave me 2 million. He says, do you know them from anywhere? No. You mean they just gave you? Why? They are kind and they are able. What happens? She gets hope. She says, I'm going to go and meet the couple, to go and make my request known to them. Isn't that what she goes at? Her heart is beating. Because she doesn't yet have any word from the couple that they will give the money. So her heart is beating, even though she's hopeful that something will happen. She knocks on the door, enters. This is prayer now. And talks to them and makes her request known. And then they give her their word. Come on Tuesday at 12 noon. Hear what they say. To our office. And we will give you 1 million for this. She turns around and says, I've got it. And starts walking. The people she needs to pay, she now goes to meet them and says, at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, you will have your money. Why? Because the responsibility for getting that money is no longer hers. Is that rich couple have taken the responsibility. So she's speaking on that. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. So when you go to God in prayer and the Spirit of God says to you what God is saying, that's that peace there, and he speaks to you, you know, all right, you have it. But please don't forget something. The instruction was, come to my office at 12 noon and you'll get it. If she goes back to the house of those people, to try to get it, they won't be there. And she won't get the money. Are you following what I'm saying here? She has to go to the office. Anytime God speaks to you about something, he tells you where you receive it. Now, I want to show you what you say here. And many times we don't go there. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because John said it this way, that which we have heard, which our eyes have seen,
which we have looked upon, which our hands have what? Handled. Now, there are four stages. You hear something and you see it, but you can see it in the Word of God. But if you don't look upon it, you may forget it. In other words, Bible says, don't be a hearer, but a doer. A hearer looks at himself in the mirror, but forgets what manner of man he is. So God, when someone says, come to meet me by 12, he's saying between now and 12. If you now hear that something happened in the city and listen to this, so currency collapsed, you now say, I don't think this man, people will be able to help me again. Are you not insulting their ability? Then you go and meet him and say, why didn't you come? Well, because I thought you would not be able to help me again because the currency. You know, he will look at you and say, do you think that, listen, you think my own business is only domiciled in Nigeria? It is domiciled in 40 nations of the earth. I earn in all those things. You can't. So you did not show up because you questioned because of what happened. This is what happens to many of us. We hear the word of God and hear something else and then think that God can no longer do what he has said. Some of you have given up on things he told you because of something that happened. And so you don't show up where you're supposed to show up. And this is why between that time and 12 noon, you must keep what he has said before your eyes. Because if you don't keep it before your eyes, he says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart out of your eyes. Because if they depart out of your eyes, you're going to lose faith in that thing. So once he tells you, keep it before your eyes, which means between that time and 12 noon, read those scriptures morning, afternoon, and evening. Morning, afternoon, and evening, keep your eyes on it. Because there's a lot of noise around to stop you. But where do you get it? I'm going to close this here. You get it. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. See, please, just listen to this. Let me go because of time here. Now, you know when Moses, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rebelled against Moses. You know the earth parted, okay? Now, you can read Numbers 16 and 17. The people did not change after the earth parted. In other words, when Moses said something again, they told Moses, have you come to kill us again? Have you come to kill us? That rebellion thing, judgment did not stop it all. So God said, I know what I'm going to do to cure this thing. He said, tell everybody to bring rods for their own families. 12 of them, the 12 tribes. Let them, listen to what he said. He said, let them bring the rods into my presence. That's what is called Aaron's rod that budded in the Holy Spirit. Let in my presence, drop the rods, right? Which are branches. Remove all the leaves and everything, drop it. He said, they come back in 24 hours. The person I have chosen, their rod, will have budded. When they came back 24 hours, only Aaron's rod budded. Please hear what I'm saying. But all of them were in the presence of God. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that we can all sing praises. Listen to what I'm saying. I want to show you the praise that will work. Are you following what I'm saying here? They dropped all those rods in the presence. He said, but the one I have chosen. That's why in Hebrews chapter 5, it says, no man taketh this honor unto himself, except he that is what? Called of God. So if a minister here is an evangelist, and God called him to be an evangelist, and he goes out there and he's doing a crusade and he's working miracles, and he teaches how he does it and says, I go into the presence of God and I worship God, I now decide, I too am going to do crusade. What's the key? I went into the presence of God and worshiped me. You can worship Tyre. If he didn't call you to do it, you will not bought. Are you following what I'm saying here? There shall be a performance of those things that are told you by the Lord. If God didn't tell you, there won't be a performance. Do you understand what I'm saying here? In other words, every one of us must enter into God's presence according to what he called us. And your song must be a description of that calling. Do you get what I'm saying here? See, you get what I'm saying? Okay. So see this. So no man, you can't go and take somebody's honor to yourself except you are what? Called.
You can't wake up now and say, Virgin, Mary was a virgin and she conceived. I too. God is able. That was the key. Praise and worship. Go there and start worshiping. Oh God, you are the one. He hasn't given you his word. Faith is not based on the ability of God. It's based on a verbal commitment. That somebody next door has money doesn't mean they are paying your school fees of your children, except they make a verbal commitment. Ability is not enough. They must show that they are willing to use that ability that way. So the Holy Spirit shows you what God wants to do in that situation. Then you know what he says? With that thing I've shown you, come. Please, put up Psalm 106 and verse 12. It says, believe they his words. And did what? Sang they his what? Praises. In other words, it's the words he gave you that you believe. There shall be a performance of those things. Blessed is she that has done what? Believed. For there shall be a performance of those things that were told her by the Lord. Now, believe they his words, sang they his what? Praises. So, in order for God to perform, you start singing praises on the basis of what he promised you. Look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 to verse 3. He says, believe they his word, sang they his praises. Then Isaiah 53, he says, who hath believed our report? In other words, whoever believes our report is singing praises on the report. He said, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow as a tender plant out of the dry ground. In other words, if God gives you his word and you believe it, which means you are praising him in the courts there for it as a tender plant, what will start growing out of your life will defy the environment. It will be like a tender plant growing out of a dry ground. In other words, you look at the thing that surrounds this person, you'll say the environment doesn't compel these things that are coming out. But the key is that hear first and then praise him on the basis of what you have heard him say to you. Isaiah chapter 52 verse 9 and verse 11. Isaiah 52, 9 to 11. You'll see how it works here. Break forth into joy together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord God has comforted his people and he has redeemed Jerusalem. Look at what he says next. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm. That means who hath believed that report? Unto whom shall the arm of the Lord be revealed? The Lord hath made bare his holy arm and the eyes, or before all the eyes of the nations, and the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of the Lord. So, the Bible says when God made promise to Abraham, he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, that in blessing shall I bless thee, and in shall... multiply shall I multiply. And after he had patiently endured, and then he talked about the fact that an oath came for the promise, that by two mutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, they who have fled for refuge might lay hold upon that hope that is set before them, which hope we have as an anchor to our soul, both sure and steadfast, that enters within the veil without the forerunner Jesus. In other words, when God gives you the hope, he says with that hope, come and enter within the veil in worship. And when you get there in worship, you will lay your hands on it. When you enter into the place of worship, there will be an intimacy and you will know that what God has said in his word to you, I have gotten it. And once you know on the inside in the place of worship, it is yours. The Bible says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, worship him and he will direct your steps. What begins to happen is direction begins to come. A person who makes that contact there with God in worship is honored with direction. In other words, he just comes out of the place of worship and it is no longer a promise now. It's a workable understanding. Fill those pots with water. Those are the pots you need to fill with water. They fill it with water. Draw it out and wine comes in the feast. It's one thing to know God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. It's another thing to know what to do to make that scripture work. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's one thing to know God told him, said, I've given you Jericho. It's one thing to know God has given me Jericho. It's Another thing to know, the strategy is, we're going to go around this place. I'm saying when you get into worship and you lay hold on it, the strategy breaks. Are you following what I'm saying here? So here's what I came to share. Pray to God. He sends forth his spirit on the inside of you. Open your Bible. He will show you the hope and give you promises. Take the promises, enter into the place of worship. In worship there, you'll get so deep in worship. In other words, I'm trying to tell you this. We can be singing the same songs in church, but we are not singing the exact same things to God. Are you following what I'm saying here? If you say, God of miracles, now my papa, and God gave me a promise for healing, the way I am singing it to him is for healing, while you are singing it, are you following what I'm saying here? Now, when you enter into that place, and you get in, into the holiest of all, heaven itself, you will know in your consciousness, this is real stuff, I have gotten this thing. When you come out of it, because you went within the veil, that veil is removed off your mind. And once that veil is removed off your mind, you come out. If you're a pastor, you know. This is the person that is supposed to do this. That is the person that is supposed to do this. This is the project we are supposed to enter into. Folks, without it, it's frustration. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because you will take the logos and interpret it directly. And you won't know what happened to you. For God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. When Joshua got to the Jordan, if he had followed what God did with Moses, he would have been looking for a rod to lay hold up. And no Red Sea would have parted. But because he had his own encounter with God, he said the key to this, this is where we have to get to. The key to it is this. We know the promises, but we are not taking the promises within the veil to have an encounter. And when I say within the veil, I'm saying you get into a place of worship, you lose consciousness of your environment while you are there before the feet of Jesus, knowing that this is the only place on this earth and in heaven where the strategies of heaven are born. It is here alone, and you lie down there worshiping him. And what happens is, you know, I have gotten this thing in the presence of God. You come out of it, and in a matter of minutes, days, all right, you just see the strategy clear before your eyes. This is exactly what we're supposed to do, all right, in order to get it done. It's one thing to know the promise. It's another thing to know. It's one thing to know that God wants to heal. It's another thing to know, go and dip yourself seven times in that pool. It's one thing, do you get what I'm saying here? It's one thing to know God shall supply all my need. It's another thing to know exactly. It's one thing to know I will break forth on the left and the right hand. It's another thing to know the exact thing to do for that thing to work. It is in only in worship. Only in worship do you get those things. I said this to worship leaders. God said Judah will go first. And I told them, worship leaders, in this thing we are in, watch what's going to happen. Worshippers in the body of Christ will enter into nations before preachers get there. Watch. I'm not saying singers, so worshippers. For the Father is seeking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. The next move of God is for worshippers. Let me repeat what I'm saying. The next move of the Spirit on this earth is for worshipers. People that are singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in their hearts to God. I am saying unprecedented things that they cannot explain will be happening. They will look on the outside and say, who had begotten me all this? Because it is in that intimacy that results will come. Because of time, I was going to say we should take time to worship, but Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. If they're on the side of getting revelation from your word, let it be as a confirmation from this conference that they leave this place before this conference is over. The rhema that they require for that situation permeates into their heart. The eyes of their understanding is enlightened and they see that hope. For those who already have seen the hope and have ignored it because of the dryness of the ground, grant them grace and inner strength to return within the veil, to lie flat before you in worship, and to have that encounter with you, that as they come out of this, the strategies clear to deliver the results are granted unto them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God bless you all.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.